If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We've arrived at the last chapter of the book of Daniel. At the beginning of the summer, we started our sermon series in the book of Daniel. And now as we conclude summer, we are concluding our look at the book. We're going to read all 13 verses of Daniel chapter 12. I would encourage you to keep a bookmark here. I will be back. This is my text. And I will also remind you as I read it that this is the very word of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked. Behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river, the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish scattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest, rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, as we have seen quite a few times in the book of Daniel, Daniel did not understand what he was seeing. And Lord, we come again this morning admitting that we do not fully understand what he saw either. In fact, we acknowledge that I guess a exact understanding of this has been sealed up. It's beyond our comprehension. But yet, Lord, you did have Daniel write it down, and it has been preserved for us today, and it is part of the canon. It is Holy Scripture. So as we approach some of these verses, which are very difficult to understand, again, give us a sense of humility. I will try my best to explain what I think it means. But Lord, until you reveal it at the end time, we cannot know for sure. So Father, I just pray that you'd open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to receive your word. Thank you for bringing us together to hear it. And then when we go out to live it, I pray. If you would turn to Daniel chapter 12. Today we finish another book of the Bible. It has been my practice throughout my nearly 25 years as your pastor, to go verse by verse through a book of the Bible. Now, I don't only do that, but that has been the norm. I like to say the Bible is more than just our middle name at Community Bible Church. The Bible is in our DNA. We teach and preach God's Word, not our own. Last night I was with a group of folks, and someone asked, "So what's your next book? What's your next series?" And I'll be honest with you, I don't have one yet. So for a little bit, we're just going to, my sermons will still be from the Bible, don't worry, but more standalone passages. However, if you have something you would like, that you would like to suggest that I speak on, please let me know. Send me an email, or if you don't want me to know who you are, just write on a piece of paper and leave it at the information desk. And if you have a particular book of the Bible that I haven't done since you've been here, let me know and I'll consider that too. Well, Daniel's chapter 10, 11, and 12 form a unit. Chapter 11 was the introduction. Chapter 10 was the introduction. Chapter 11 was the vision, and chapter 12 is the conclusion, with one caveat. The vision actually continues through chapter 12, verse 4. So look at verse 4. "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and acknowledge, and knowledge will increase." That really is the end of the vision that we find in chapter 11. Verse 12, verse 5 is the conclusion. "Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld." So there's actually the break. Chapter 11, starting at verse 36, through chapter 12, verse 4, contains the revelation of a final world ruler unlike any other. Look at verse 35, chapter 11, verse 35. "Many of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time." Verse 36, "Then the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. He will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done." So through chapter 12, verse 4, is dealing with this final world ruler. In fact, chapter 11, verse 40, until Daniel 12, 5, is actually just one paragraph. So that helps us to understand verse 1, chapter 12. "Now at that time," okay, what time? The time that this coming world ruler who exalts himself and claims to be God, that brings this horrible tribulation to God's people. At that time, all right, at that time, Michael the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. So at that time is referring to this final period, this final blasphemous ruler. All right. First of all, before the end comes, there will be tribulation. Before the end comes. Now, we read all through here the phrase the end times, till the end, etc. Until the end, before the end comes, there will be tribulation. Look at verse 1, chapter 12. "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people," so it's talking about Jewish people, Daniel's people are Jewish, "he will arise. and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a Jewish nation until that time. Okay? Until that time. So, your people is the Jewish nation. At this time of tremendous persecution of God's chosen people, when it seems that none can stand against this onslaught, God sends the archangel Michael. Now, previously in the book, we saw glimpses of this spiritual warfare. This is not the first time we've read of Michael. It's not the first angel that we have been introduced to in this book. There has been this underlying theme of this great cosmic battle. But what it points us to is the fact that demonic persecution, which I'll explain a little bit in detail, demands divine intervention. As this, I believe, Antichrist, as this final world ruler who puts himself on what should have been God's throne, who declares himself to be God, is actually in league with Satan. He is energized by Satan. He is demonic. Because that is what the nation will be up against at this time, God sends divine intervention. I believe that this time of distress, again, verse 1 in the middle, there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. I believe this is the same time mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, 21. There will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now or ever will. Now, that is pretty much a quote of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus quotes, paraphrases what Daniel has written here. I think that is what how Jesus would interpret this passage. Because it goes on to mention, verse 2, the two resurrections, I believe that this event has not occurred yet. As we have discussed in previous sermons and Sunday school lessons, not all would agree with that. But I believe this is a future period, something that has never been like it before. Jeremiah 37 refers to this time. Alas, for that day is great. There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved from it. Jacob's trouble. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, and he will be saved from it. We see in the last part of verse 1, whoever is found written in the book will be rescued. So I don't think that this passage is about Antiochus the Fourth or Titus of Rome. I think this is a future event. Now, the Jews have always endured tribulation. They have always endured trouble, be it the sacking of Samaria and the loss of Samaria by this to the Assyrians, the conquering, to the taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the deportation into captivity. To Antiochus the Fourth, who marched into Jerusalem and slaughtered 100,000 Jews and slaughtered a pig on the altar and proclaimed himself to be God. To the Romans, to the Middle Ages, to the pogroms of Europe, to the Holocaust, anti-Semitism, and sadly even the church. The Jews have always faced persecution. All their history is a story of tribulation. But this is worse. This is unlike anything that's ever happened before or will ever happen again. There really is no explanation for this history except Satan. This hatred, this animosity is demonic in origin. The devil knows that the Jews have a specific place in God's redemptive plans, and he has tried throughout the millennia to destroy them. and this is the one last final attempt. But they can have hope. Look at the last part of verse 1. Everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. In the midst of their distress, they will be delivered. Romans 11 says that they will turn to the Lord. Zechariah 12:10 prophesied of this event. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. They will turn to their Messiah, whom they pierced, whom they crucified. But this traumatic, this great tribulation, this final onslaught of persecution will drive them to Jesus. Now, the church, we, believers, as God's chosen people, we should not be surprised by tribulation either. Before the end comes, there will be tribulation. Now, I believe that the emphasis here is on the great tribulation. But 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I have mentioned before, that's, to me, that is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible. You say, why? Because I've never really been persecuted. What was it? What does that say? If I'm living godly in Christ, I should expect to be persecuted. We shouldn't be surprised if persecution comes. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. As believers, we have had our divine intervention. He has overcome the world. Christ has broken Satan's hold on us. Christ has broken Satan's hold on us. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So there's an application here for us. It's not just about, as horrible as it is, the great tribulation and the coming persecution of the Jews. It's a reminder to us that we also will face persecution. We also should expect tribulation, but that Satan has been defeated by Christ, and we are on the Lord's side, and he fights for us. We have had our divine intervention against demonic persecution. So before the end comes, there will be tribulation. After the end comes, there will be resurrection. After the end comes, there will be resurrection. Verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. So the dead will be raised. These two, so there are two categories. These to everlasting life, and the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. After the end comes, there will be resurrection. After the end of time, as we know it, justice must be implemented. There must be a judgment. There will be a judgment. We see it in verse 2. Some will be to everlasting life, others to everlasting contempt. The end times is not the end of time. The end times is not the end of time. There is something else coming. Those of faith will rise to eternal life. the rest, the unsaved, to eternal punishment. Yes, the Bible teaches that there is a hell, that there is coming a reckoning. Those in Christ will be raised. Those outside of Christ will also be raised. If someone could come back from the dead, you know what they'd say? It's real. It's real. There is something after the end. Death is not the end. Now, sin will be judged in two places: the cross of Christ or hell. Sin is judged on the cross, but those who reject that, their sin will be judged in hell. But the point here is we will all live forever. See, sometimes we think, that Christians will live forever. But everybody lives forever. We're all eternal beings. Verse 3 tells us that the reward of the righteous in eternity is directly linked to their faithfulness to the task they were given at the time. And what is our task? Verse 3, last part, those who lead many to righteousness. We are to warn people that there is something after death, and that Christ is our only hope of righteousness. Let your sin be judged in Christ on the cross, not in hell forever. So after the end comes the resurrection. Until the end comes, we are called to be faithful. Until the end comes, we are called to be faithful. Now we see a couple of things here. First, Daniel does not need to worry about the future days of distress. So he gets this revelation of this coming horrible great tribulation. But Daniel need not worry about it. Verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal them up in the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you notice, but for you, Daniel, you don't have to worry about that. Just finish this book. Just finish this book. Verse 9. He said, go your way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Verse 13. But as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Then you will enter your rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. So Daniel need not worry about these future days of distress. These are future events. They'll be after he is after his life is ended. Second, in this great distress, people will search for answers to the devastation, and I believe discover increased knowledge through Daniel's book, through Daniel's preserved book. Verse 4 again. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time, until these things happen. And many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. I think the back and forth means they will be diligently searching for what's going on, and they will find answers, and they will be able to understand Daniel in a way we can't. Okay. They will discover knowledge that to us is concealed. Now, Daniel is joined by two more angels, one of whom asked, how long will this horrible event happen, or until it happens? The answer comes from the Lord, I believe, himself. If you remember back in chapter 10, we saw what I believe would be a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I think he is the one who gives the answer here. So you have two angels questioning, but it's the Lord who gives the answer. So look at verse 7. I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river. Okay. So you had two angels on each bank, but here is one above the waters of the river. And he raised his right hand and his left. So this is a solemn oath that swore by him who lives forever that it would be a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish scattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. So when Israel is shattered, then these things will be completed. Now, time, times, and half a time. What in the world? Right? Now, we've seen it before. Chapter 9, verse 27. It comes at the end of Daniel's 70th week. What does it mean? And actually, the phrase is, I think, used seven different times in Scripture. It appears what it means is that time, singular, is 1 year. Times, plural, would be 2 years. So you got 1 year plus 2 years. That's 3 years. And half a time would be a half a year. It appears to mean 3.5 years. So salvation, let's go to verse 10. Many will be purged, purified, and refined. So many of the Jews will come to know Christ, will turn to their Messiah whom they pierced. They will look upon him. So salvation will come to the Jews during this horrible tribulation. Verse 11, from that time the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up. There will be 1290 days. After 3.5 years, he will break this peace covenant with Israel and turn his true hatred towards them. Now, the best I can say here is 1290 days is approximately 3.5 years, right? Now, we talked earlier about the way years are calculated has changed throughout time. We know it's 365, but it's not exactly 365 because every 4 years we got to have 366, right? In fact, I just read an article. I wish I had typed it off, but it dealt with when England switched calendars, and to get on the same calendar, they jumped 11 days in advance, right? They changed the date for 11 days. And they had riots in the street because people wanted their 11 days back. Seriously, look it up. So understanding that years have not always been exactly measured as we know to measure them, approximately this is 3.5 years. That's what it's a reference to. You say, well, great, Pastor Rick. What's this 1,335 days mean? And I want to tell you that I have no idea. Verse 12. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. It appears that would be 45 more days than the 3.5 years. Apparently that is maybe when after Israel is shattered and eventually comes the judgment of the nations. I will not go on record saying I know exactly what that means. But look at verse 13. But as for you, again, I'm going to say that this is not just Daniel. This is you. As for you, go your way to the end. Now that end there means end of life. The end of your life. As for you, go your way to the end of your life. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. So the angel concludes by telling Daniel, listen, Daniel, your death is coming, but so is your resurrection. Don't worry about all these things. You can't know them. In fact, I think, again, going back to verse 4 about increased knowledge means that even we, as much as we want to, cannot completely understand these things. But what can we do? Well, we can go on our way following Jesus. we can go on our way following Jesus. That's what he says. Go on your way. Verse 9, he said, go your way, Daniel. Verse 13, go your way. Just keep following me. We just keep on following Jesus. Will we be alive at the time that some of these events start or whatever? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't really make any difference because I'm just supposed to follow Jesus. Look at verse 10. Many will be purged, purified, and refined. So that's godliness, holiness. But the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. We don't have anything to do with the wicked becoming more wicked. It's going to happen. That's what it says. The wicked are going to become more wicked. We don't have anything to do with that. They seem to be doing well enough on their own. But we can be more godly. That's the challenge here. Don't worry about the wickedness of the wicked. Don't worry if this is a sign of that or something else or the other. No, what you could be is you could follow Jesus and be more godly and turn people to righteousness. And when you go to your end, you enter into your rest and you await your resurrection and then your reward. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Death is a promotion. When recently a friend of mine from college, her husband passed away, and she had sent out a message, and I responded as I often do when I hear, sorry for your loss, happy for his gain. He was promoted to glory. He had battled pancreatic cancer for 11 years. He's entered his rest. He awaits his resurrection. And his reward is a new body. So awaiting us is our resurrection and reward. Let me conclude with a biblical illustration. At the end of the book of John, we read a very human response from Peter. Peter was very good at giving human responses, right? So as you know, Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord in a very odd way gives him assurance that he won't do it again. Peter was consumed that he had denied the Lord, and he wanted assurance that, you know, that he hadn't been cast out, that Jesus still loved him. And Jesus gave him that assurance, but the way he gave it to him was, yes, Peter, you're going to die a martyr for me. You're not going to deny me. You're actually going to die for me. You're going to die a martyr. Right before Christ's ascension to his Father, Peter wanted to know what the future held for him and John, right? So, Jesus says to Peter, don't worry about denying me. In fact, you're going to follow me to the very end of your life when you will be martyred for my sake. And Peter said, what about John? What's John get? You know what Jesus said? It doesn't matter what John gets. You just follow me. Peter, you just follow me. Do we have Daniel all figured out? No. Can we get Daniel all figured out? No. We can follow Jesus. Let's pray. Now, Lord, will we die a martyr's death? I don't know. I can't say. What type of persecution awaits us? I don't know. What type of tribulation awaits us? Again, I don't know. I do know that Christ told us to expect it. And I do know that Apostle Paul, as he was contemplating his own death, said that to live is Christ, but to die is gain, a promotion. So, Lord, I would pray that we'd be among those who are faithful to Christ. We know as we look in the book of Revelation, I think these events are in Revelation chapter 6, verse or through 19. Lord, we know there's all kinds of things. And we know that some people will take a mark and swear their allegiance to this coming world ruler, Lord. As for us, we go on our way following Jesus. We thank you that you have given us the divine power. You've broken the hold that Satan had over us. You defeated death, hell, and the grave. And what awaits us is rest, resurrection, and